Hi guys, welcome back to Vision de Rel. Today we are here with a couple of directors whose film you might already know because it had its premiere at Sundance where I could see it for the first time, and then it went right on to Berlinale, and now it's here in Switzerland at Vision de Rel. It's Jari Peo, and I'm with the directors Rebecca Zweig and Efrain Mojica. You made this film, which is so bright, it's funny, it's socially important. It has so many vibrant characters, and it's about queer cowboys, which is such an iconic theme. So how did you find those people, and how did you conceive the idea of the film?
I love that you say that it's funny, because
it is funny.
It's an important thing that people laugh about. It started just like a friendship. Rebecca and I have been friends for over 10 years now. Jaripeo happens on Christmas Day and New Year's Day. So I invited Becca to come spend Christmas with my family. We went to the Jaripeo. Long story short, she was like, do you want to make a film about the Jaripeo? I was like, yeah, but let's make it gay.
That's our origin story of our collaboration. It really came from friendship and also like everyone else who worked on this film with us. I mean, we came to filmmaking through this story, and we were so lucky that our friends who are so talented kind of volunteered themselves to, you know, took a chance on us as directors because they were like, gay cowboys in Michoacán, like, yeah, that sounds great. I mean, the film takes place in the town where Efraim grew up. And so the characters are, you know, our participants in the film are also, you know, members of a pretty small community. We really met both Noé and Joseph, like, at the Jaripeos, really. Or we met Noé at a baile, but...
Yeah, it's a similar thing, just without bulls. It was a dance party. A bunch of our friends from Mexico City came to my hometown for my birthday. There was this big dance party. And at the end of it, we were getting tortas. These sandwiches. Noé approached us. He's like, what are you guys doing? You know, just like so casual. And we became really good friends almost immediately. And by that time, we were already pre-developing the film. So I was like, how would you like to be in this documentary with us? And he's like, make me famous.
The people who are in the film basically came to you. So you didn't even have to really look for them.
Well, Joseph, who's the sort of glamorous diva, he was a bit harder to track down. I mean, we saw him all the time. We saw him at the Rodeos all the time because you can't really miss him. You know, he always looks like fabulous. And we were just like, who is this diva? We must talk to the diva. It was a year and a half before we were actually able to film with him because he's so busy. Because, I mean, it's what you see in the film. He's kind of the mayor of the town. It's like he's the president of the church. He runs the annual town party. He's the choreographer for the folkloric ballet. He's a makeup artist. He's a Zumba instructor. Like, he occupies so much of this town was more like us being able to fit into his schedule.
Was it hard to convince him to be in the film?
He also wanted to be a star. It was hard to find the time to film with him, especially because when we went with the crew, it was during the winter holidays where he has the most makeup jobs because all of the weddings and quinceañeras happen around those days. So he's just like busy every single day. But it wasn't until like off season, it was like May or something, that only Rebecca and I went to town. We started talking to him with the camera, and he was just like so casual about it. You know, he was very open to sharing like his upbringing and like the way he's been accepted in town since he was little. So but it wasn't really like difficult to have him be a part of the film.
You mentioned that this is a quite small town, a small community. Is this kind of acceptance, would you say it's still a very open culture, or would you say this acceptance is something that's special or rare or unique to this place?
I think both. Like we focused the film in Benjamillo because like that's what I know, you know, like that's what we can comfortably say that this is happening there. But Mexico is such a vast, diverse country that I know that some like more northern states are like way more conservative, but also southern states have like, you know, mushes in Oaxaca, which are these like kids assigned male at birth, but then they are raised as a girl. And it's like a tradition that every family has a mushe. So there's just like a very diverse types of identity in Mexico. In general, I would say that it's like much more accepting than what the rest of the world thinks.
There's also a little talk in the film about some people speak about how their family knows or knows knows not so much, or maybe knows, but doesn't really admit that they know about their queer life. And was it, how much was that a point when making the film that it's then there in a way more out there and it's more open? Was that something that the people in the film that they liked, or was it more something that they were anxious about?
We were really transparent with our participants the whole time and constantly showing people material and making sure that whatever was there was things that they felt okay being in the world. I should also say that there were other people who we talked to who were not interested in sharing their stories on screen, right? And which is pretty normal, right? It's pretty understandable in almost any circumstance. There's so many valences of sort of, there's like closetedness and then there's secretiveness that sometimes is something that's a little more erotic. And then there's people like Joseph who are very out, and a lot of things happening in a interesting sort of simultaneity, I would say, because the dominant culture is super traditional, very hyper masculine, and our characters, like, they belong in this community. They're negotiating how they want to belong in it and how they can be most themselves there.
The character of the cowboy, no matter if it's queer or if it's straight, it's both iconic and also a cliche. And it's so wrapped in cultural and ideological and social perceptions and ideas. How did you unwrap all that stuff?
For me, it was always like a vignette, a portrait of my hometown. These memories of the queer subculture, the subconscious. I don't know, from like a city perspective, it's very easy to like come and point finger yourself. Observing it through this lens of desire, because it's so hot and sexy, you know, and that's how the Super 8 takes a part of it too. You have the verite with the digital footage of like the wide angle of very traditional macho space. And then the Super 8 works almost like a magnifying glass, showing you the subtle details of like the caresses or the looks and just this coded language that happens between these macho men, how gay it actually is.
Something that I was really interested in was the performance that was going on, right? Like the performance of the cowboy, and it's an arena of people looking at a man dominating a bull and giving like a very kind of specific, almost archaic performance of masculinity. But it was so clear, you know, from the first time that I went with Efrain and I was talking to writers, how quickly that performance was sort of disassembled. You know, we got a lot of footage at the Jaripeos, and when we were writing the film, when we were looking back at all of the material and sort of putting it together, it became a major thread of how do we start with the performance, undo it throughout the film, and undo it in terms of the different textures that we're using, in terms of the abstract sequences, in terms of the Super 8, the conversations that we're having with people, these moments that are able to subvert the performance that you see at the beginning.
How long did the whole process of shooting take?
It was a 4-year process of going back to my hometown during Christmas for the most part, just to have more intimate space, intimate time with Noe and with Joseph, to really just sit down and hang out and like build this trust with each other, become friends. You know, I think that's like, that was a very important part of the process of the film, was gaining each other's trust. Also me and them and me, you know, like creating this bond of trust. So for 4 years, every time we would go back, it was like, for me, it was seeing the town in a different light. And then next year, it was like seeing my family with a different light, and then seeing myself with a different eye, you know. It's just like evolution of like mental state almost.
The voiceover that we have in the film, and this, you see that we constantly go back to the truck where Efrain is in the driver's seat and I'm sort of behind the camera. All of that was constructed over 4 years. We kept going back to that space and we kept kind of conducting more interviews that ended up being sort of this narrative thread. This film was very much a process film. Like the realization, the sort of, I guess, emotional arc Efrain having throughout the film in the truck took 4 years for us to do as well.
What would you say were the biggest challenges when shooting?
For me, it was accepting that I was a part of the film. Because from the beginning, it was years. Like, it was my portrait of the town. And it was difficult for me to portray myself vulnerable in this space and like share my story. But it's something that the film wanted, you know, so there was a lot of listening to what it needed to be and just letting go.
When we began to realize that Efrain's story was the centerpiece of the film, or like the narrative through line of the film, we also sort of had to renegotiate our relationship as directors, you know, because it was from both being behind the camera into sort of turning the camera onto Efrain in a real way. And that took a lot of renegotiating a relationship, building a different type of collaboration, building a really deep sense of trust that you wouldn't necessarily have when both directors are always behind the camera. So that was a really long process. And I mean, it was a really important process for us to have, but it was tough.
I couldn't help noticing that the gay cowboys, so they're really gay cowboys. There are no lesbian people. There are no trans people. Was that a conscious decision to say we want to focus on this specific male gay cis community? Or was it just that these other people were just not there?
No, they are. Especially like with the lesbian community there, we didn't want to put their story in as an afterthought. Sometimes I feel like with documentaries, people really want it to be everything that could be said about a place or about a subject. And we really want to tell a very narrow story, partly because trying to add in sort of like every sexual identity that exists in the place actually just superficializes their stories, rather than, you know, what should happen is that us or someone else maybe go and make an entire other movie about their experience.
But they are very present. Like, they're like really good friends with Joseph. Joseph's like the leader of the queer community, you know? And like, you can see them walking around with this posse and these girls and the gays and like even younger generations. Like, people say that the queer community in Benjamillo has like a before and after Joseph, because he was the first one to come out with the dress and like nails and makeup. Elder people in town saw him. There's always a first shock when you see somebody. After that, there's like, oh, another. Teenagers are just like non-binary, just like being really comfortable in their flesh.
Despite this really vibrant queer community that you describe, still the majority is straight. How did they perceive the film? Did you have interactions with them? And how was the whole atmosphere in town when you made this film?
The town was very receptive of us as a film crew coming to film, mostly because it was like a film about the jaripeo, you know, or at least that's what we presented us, because we were unsure on how comfortable our protagonists were with us sharing their story, just being discreet. But now that the film is out and that like the trailer is very clearly gay cowboy in Benjamillo, the town is just so happy and like proud to have Benjamillo on the map and like have an international film be representative of our traditions and our culture.
I think something that we tried to communicate in this film is that, you know, I think that's often people really want things to have sort of a very straight line from oppression to acceptance, or it's a very rural town. It's a very, gender roles there are very traditional still. There is an acceptance, but that doesn't mean that those other things don't exist there. And it's sort of navigating everything existing in town at once, and everyone sort of wanting to have an idea of belonging there and how to move forward from that point.
Now that you worked on this film for quite a while, how does it feel to present it on all these international festivals?
It's so hard. Warming. Just having people connect with the film in so many different approaches, walk up after the film with like tears in their eyes, with like a thank you, a smile and a hug, you know, it still makes me cry. Joseph has this very strong connection with the church and with God. I think that's one of the most that hit me. It was this girl, once she like embraced her like lesbianism, she strived away from church, even though she grew up with it and like loved God. But she was like, okay, now the church doesn't love the gay, so like, so sad, but fuck you, God. And once she saw Joseph being like, God created me in his image and like, I love God, and like, she told me like that scene brought her faith back, and like, she started crying because like, she could now like have her relationship with God again because of Joseph. It's just so beautiful to have these reactions.
And you know, we're not we're not trying to speak about Mexico as a whole. We really wanted to focus on this specific town and the stories that we know and that the people that we know in a way that I think the specificity actually opened, you know, there's a lot of complexity there and it's opened up the story in so many ways that we couldn't necessarily anticipate. I think people identify with the film in so many sort of different valences of rurality, of queerness, of, you know, of sort of being complicated humans. And it's been really amazing to see sort of how people from like all around the world are able to, there's something that touches them about the story.
Do you have a new project that you want to share?
I'm just finishing this world tour with so far.
We have a couple of things like in development right now and maybe some interesting things that could happen from Jaripeo as well. We're still sort of like grasping what's happened with Sundance and with this tour and, you know, and because we came to filmmaking like through the story as well, it's, I think the reception's been amazing and a little overwhelming. And yeah, we've got ideas, but we're catching up with the film.
Well, then we are also going to enjoy the film. Jaripeo is now set with Jean de Ville. And as soon as it gets a release, a local one, then you read it with us. Thank you so much, Rebecca Zweig and Efra Engmojica.
Thank you so much.